Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners, is with us. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Heather.
Now, give me your take on the SpaceX IPO.
Oh, my gosh. Where the heck do you start? So 1 o'clock tomorrow morning, this thing starts trading. So I'm sure we'll all be up staring at the screens looking at that. Now, I have to be a little bit careful here, Heather, because I can't make any recommendations. Listeners out there are going to have to make their own mind up about how they feel about this and what they do. But let's sort of run through some of the facts, shall we? So it's one of the largest IPOs in history, and it's very much expected that this exercise we know that at $135 a share, you are talking about a company that's being valued at just under $1.8 trillion, which, if you want a water cooler number this morning, is about $3 trillion New Zealand dollars. But they're actually only selling about $75 billion worth of shares, so it's only a small part of the company actually being sold down through the IPO. And if you want some comparisons, Saudi Aramco 2019, $25 billion, Alibaba 2014, 21.8. So massive, and when we look at it with regards to those. I saw a comment, unprecedented in size, structure and scale, which I think is fair enough. Now, in case people out there don't know who SpaceX is, US-based aeronautical telecoms AI company, founded in 2002, Elon Musk in the background, three parts of the business. You've got the launch and the space infrastructure, so you design rockets, you launch rockets, put satellites up there. They work with NASA, they work with the US government. Starlink, probably reasonably well known in New Zealand, I would have thought. Starlink, you know, the satellites that you see across the sky. And then the AI part of it, which only got brought in early 2026, and that's where Grok lives. Now, this valuation in the $1.8 trillion, there are many, many adjectives I could use, Heather, to describe this. Extended, frothy, elevated. There's no avoiding, really, the observation, though, that the valuation is nothing short of staggering. So you're having to value this company at a multiple of its revenue. And that's the key, Heather, and I think you said this earlier on. The company makes a loss. The company didn't make any money, so it's valued at a multiple of its sales, close to 100 times its revenue. So there is a huge amount of expectation built into the sort of blue sky, the growth and the future, and potentially, you know, when does this company become profitable? Enormous amount of expectation there. If listeners out there are thinking about getting involved in this, they need to reflect on that. So existing shareholders, they can sell down over time. There is part of this IPO that's reserved for friends and family. That's not subject to the lockup restrictions. But there's one thing I do want to point out, Heather, here. This is what the market, sort of market trading after the IPO. And what I have to talk about here are the passive funds out there that simply track market indexes. Historically, Heather, SpaceX would not have gone into major market indexes, but because there's various rules as to, you know, company has to be profitable, etc. But some of the index providers have changed their rules. So the FTSE, NASDAQ, the Russell indexes, they're going to bring SpaceX in. The S&P 500 won't. This is highly unusual. It means these passive funds that follow these indexes will have to buy shares and also reduce some other holdings as well. So it could get really volatile. And I think you also referred to this as well. One thing you need to be aware of, Elon Musk still owns a big chunk of the company. He owns a special class of share, though. If you own a share, you get one vote for your share. He gets 10 votes per his share. So in terms of voting right, he remains very much the boss. This is going to be fascinating. Can't wait to see how it all pans out. So we'll just have to have a look tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating one way or the other. Hey, what did you make of that situation and outlook for primary industries report?
Well, interesting about the timing, isn't it? Because it's field day, so we all had the beaming government people with the nice report there. This is the situation report for the primary industries. Here's a few quick takeaways from that. The forecast revenue, our export revenue from primary industries, $64.3 billion. That's forecast to June 26. That's up 6% on last year. Dairy, 28.6. That's a 5% increase. Meat and wool expected to increase 14% to $14.1 billion. Sheep and beef farmers, their profitability up 96%. They're actually making bucks now. Horticultural exports increasing 7% to $9.5 billion. 82% of our goods exports are from primary industries, so it's still overwhelmingly what we do. These are very robust numbers, and it really just adds to that sort of whole hype about how well the agri-economy is doing at the moment. Just looks very strong.
Yeah, pleased to hear it. All right, give us the numbers.
Well, everything's changed from where it was, you know, a few minutes ago, because now Trump's, now the whole bombing Iran is off. Mm. So the flip-flop carries on. But what it's done is it turned markets around. The Dow Jones is now up 806 points, 1.6%, 50,723. The S&P 500 up over 1% as well, 7341. And the NASDAQ up 1.73%. So happy days, 25,605. The FTSE 100 gained just on 0.5% overnight, 10,303. The Nikkei was barely moved, 64217. The Shanghai Composite also only a small move, 3987, just down 6 points. 0.23% fall on the ASX 200, 8633, and the NZX 50 fell 0.39%, 13,202. Kiwi dollar, 0.5815 against the US, 0.8274 Aussie, 0.5034 euro, 0.4343 pounds, 93.11 against the Japanese yen. Gold, 4,151, and not unsurprisingly, the Brent crude price has fallen. It was about $94 when I looked at it earlier. It's now trading at $90.66. So Brent crude much cheaper.
Good stuff, Andrew. You enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend. That's Andrew Callagher, Shaw and Partners.